Annual Flag Football is back at Canfield High School, the most family-friendly flag football league in the Tri-County area, with scheduled games September 11th through October 17th. Register now at NEOFlagFootball.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is the 330 Sports Show, live from Youngstown Studio. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Thursday, August 5th, 2021. We have a great show for you today. We have G. Scott Sr. coming up. I'm going to talk to you about him in just a second here, but just want to give you a quick reminder of how to follow us on social media and where you can get all this stuff. So first of all, make sure to follow my page at 330 Sports Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also follow Youngstown Studio on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you can listen to any of our shows on any podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, wherever, including our website, youngstownstudio.com. So check out more than 520 some episodes. This show is nearing its 100th episode. I believe this is 95 for us. So we appreciate your continued support. So I want to talk to you real quick. I'm going to introduce him obviously during our interview, but real quick, reminder of who our guest is today. His name is G. Scott Sr. He is the father of Ohio State wide receiver / tight end G. Scott Jr. He is a radio host at ESPN 710 in Seattle. He is a motivational speaker, an auctioneer, an MC. You're going to hear how he's the stadium host with the Seattle Seahawks. So this guy's list of titles is awesome. And you're really, really going to enjoy this interview. He's one of the best speakers I've personally ever met. And I think he does a lot of great things, including talking all things Buckeyes. So we're going to go ahead right now to that interview. Please feel free to leave any comments and we'll go to that right now. So G. Scott Sr. of ESPN 710 in Seattle.
Hey guys, Justin Coffin here for the 330 Sports Show. Joining me is G. Scott Sr. He is, I'm going to go through this list of titles with you, but I mean, you're a radio host, a motivational speaker, auctioneer, MC, and most importantly, a father to two boys, one of which plays at The Ohio State University. So I kind of gave a real quick synopsis of your background. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, G?
Oh, man, I'm just a dad today, born and raised in Chicago, went to college at Tri-State University, now called Trine University in Angola, Indiana. So Midwest has a lot of my heart, if you will. I live in Seattle, but yeah, I get the opportunity to come out there to Columbus. I was just in Columbus, Ohio last week. I'll be back in Columbus, Ohio next week. And that's it. You know what I mean? I'm just part of the Buckeye family by way of my son, G. Scott Jr.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. And he'll be, I believe he'll be wearing the number 13 this year.
Yes, sir.
You know, us here in Youngstown, we're very familiar with the number 13. Maurice Clarett proudly wore that national championship year. So hopefully we see some good things more to come out of that number 13 uniform. So I'll tell you what, let's talk first of all, as a dad, sending his son cross country. You know, you said, you know, you got those Midwest roots, but what gave you the faith or the trust with the Buckeye coaching staff, you know, Ryan Day, Ryan Hartline, whoever it might be, what gave you the trust as a dad that Ohio State was the right choice for your son?
Ryan Day is amazing. Ryan Day is the future of coaching. You notice I didn't say The Ohio State. You notice I didn't say the future of college football, the future of pro. No, Ryan Day is the future of coaching. Let me explain. In yesteryear, and those of you listening right now, you remember the coaches that led with fear, the rah-rah, do it this way or else. Coach Ryan Day leads with love. Oftentimes, players will play harder when they feel like they might disappoint Coach Ryan Day. You know, our parents sometimes have yelled at us in the past And when our parents yell at us, it's one thing to yell at them. It's another thing when they say, you know, Charlie, I'm disappointed in you. Mm-hmm. It's a different nerve that it hits. So when you talk about Ryan Day, let me tell you what he has done recently. And so you ask me why I sent him out there. I sent him out here because I could tell just by meeting him in a conversation that his leadership was going to be incredible, right? And leadership isn't always about what's on the field. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, when it comes to the Ohio State football, this football team has been through a lot, if you will, over the last 17 to 18 months, starting with a global pandemic. Coach Ryan Day has led this team through a global pandemic. He has also led this team through a time in our country where we had a lot of social unrest going on in this country, where arguably so, social injustices have been talked about, paid attention to, right? He's led the team during that time. He's also led the team through the transfer portal and now name, image, likeness. So it's interesting, right? Like, yes, Coach Ryan Day has led this team to a national championship last year, but we all know that coaching, especially the Buckeyes, isn't always about what's on the field, Justin. It has to do with off the field. So you ask me why I sent my stud across country so he could be developed. And they say developed here with the Ohio State, developed here isn't just about being a great football player. Isn't all about scoring touchdowns or tackling someone. It's about developed here, becoming a great man, a great citizen, a great human being, a great husband, a great father, and a great family man. So those are the things that are important to me. And I want G. Scott Jr. to be able to have that development.
I love that answer. So many people just see what's on the field and they don't see all the other work that goes involved in running a program. And that answer is just phenomenal. So I don't know why anyone wouldn't want their kid to play for Ryan Day and the Buckeyes. Sure. Great answer. So you brought up the elephant in the room, the name, image, and likeness. So I want to ask you two questions based on that. First, congratulations. I believe your son just signed with an agency either this week or today, or it was recently.
Yeah.
In the news.
Yep.
I'm going to have you walk us through what that's all about. And then a two-part question. I want to get your thoughts on Quinn Ewers too, taking advantage of that NIL. So, so I'll have you go with however you want to tackle that one.
Well, let's start with name, image, likeness, right? This is something that is long overdue. Right. If a college student at Youngstown State University is going to school there for business administration, and then a company asks that student to write a business plan for them and they will get paid for it. Mm-hmm. Why can that student get paid to write that business plan? But if you play sports, you can't. So that had to be addressed for far too long. That had been going on, right? That's number one. Number two, don't we want everything to be on board? Don't we want all cards on the table? Isn't it a bit of hypocrisy if there are some schools that are doing it right and some schools that are doing it wrong? And if there's favors and stuff happening under the table. Isn't that dangerous? Do we want our kids, these student athletes, in situations where they're even caught up into that? Because now their mind is elsewhere when it's hidden up under the table. And then usually the only person really that gets hurt is the student athlete. So you want to protect the student athlete in that regards. And number three is now that it is happening, right? The name, image, likeness, this is an opportunity, Justin, for these young men to be able to, yes, do they have an opportunity to make money off of their name with sponsorships? Yes. But it also makes them say, hey, young man, yeah, you got to do your thing on the field, but you also have to be a great person off the field, because no company, no organization wants to back somebody that's doing mischief off the field. So a little bit, this might make the player start to be better about those things. Now, in a perfect world, and Justin and you and your listeners both know that this isn't a perfect world. If it were up to me, there would have been no different deals of name, image, likeness. Mm-hmm. The best thing would have been to do is to raise the stipend of every college athlete. Does that make sense? So then now, you don't have young men looking at the other player wondering why that player got that endorsement deal and you don't. And so that causes another angle, right? I've been around pro football for 18 years. As you know, I do work for the Seattle Seahawks. And in doing that, I've been around and I've seen so much. And we call it pocket watching, right? Pocket watching, when you watch in other people's pockets, right? Well, that's, when you're a pro, you can maybe handle it. You're a little bit older. But when you're 18, 19, 20, ooh, it's rough. So I wish they just would have just increased the stipend. Everybody would have made more money, a nice little profit share for these young athletes. Because let's be real, no matter where you side at on this whole, whether or not the name, image, likeness should happen, Justin, I don't think anybody, would agree that it is fair for a young man to be able to go out there on the field, play hard. Universities make money, TVs make money, everybody else makes money. But that young man, his family can't even afford to come and watch him play.
Right?
That's not fair. Not asking for a Lamborghini. Can the family just come out and see a game? Mm-hmm. Can they afford some memorabilia? Can they afford some Youngstown State University, anything? So what I'm saying is that the name, image, likeness is something that had to have happened. Now, you asked me about Quinn Ewers, who is reportedly going to be coming to The Ohio State. First of all, look, great, phenomenal, fantastic. I want more kids and families to come be a part of what's going on with these Buckeyes. That's number one. Number two, I had someone say to me the other day, they said, well, it's not a good idea that Quinn made the decision to leave his senior year and go to college. And my answer right back to that is, well, how do you know that? How do you know what the goal is for that family? Right? We don't know what the goals are. I mean, Justin, I'm trying to get the people next door to cut their grass. I don't know why they don't cut the grass.
Right.
I don't know what's going on in their house. But what I'm saying is we have to be mindful and give grace and understanding that we don't know people's situations. We don't know what their goal is, right? Like when we made our decision for my son to go to The Ohio State, we had specific reasons as to why we wanted to go there. Some people go to colleges for playing time, right? Some people go to colleges for the education. Some people go to colleges because they love the city or the town in which that college is in. In the case of Quinn, I have never had a conversation with the family. Never. So all I know is they've made the decision, and I think it's great. And if they would have made the decision not to come, I think it's great. Right? Like if they like it, I love it. So I think it is phenomenal, fantastic. I'm looking forward to meeting the young man and his family. I'm just excited to have another Buckeye. That's it.
No doubt. No doubt. To each their own. So let's talk now about someone you do know and I know you're very familiar with, and you might have helped the recruiting process along, the JTT. So Ohio State has a little bit of a pipeline now with your son, JTT, and I believe it's another
Emeka
receiver, Emeka Abuka, in the wide receiver room. So let's talk about that little Seattle, Washington, Columbus, Ohio pipeline we got going on.
I mean, it's happening that way, right? My son, G. Scott Jr., was kind of the first, if you will. And then once that recruiting process started, I mean, I want to just say this first of all. We have some talent here in the state of Washington. Tobias Merriweather just today announced that he's committing to Notre Dame. There are some amazing athletes and young men, both football and basketball. I mean, right? So there's a good chance that basketball, Paolo Banchero, will probably be the number one pick in the 2022 draft. Where's he from? Seattle, Washington. There is a lot of talent here. Now, as far as JT and as far as Abeka, I think, again, here's another situation, an example where those families chose it, right? Do I think that I had any, you know, persuasion for those guys to go? No, I don't. What can I say, right? Because no matter what, every university, they have the weights are heavy and the water's wet, right? So what I like about a university, you might not like. I think that Brian Hartline did a phenomenal job with the recruitment of Emeka. And I think Larry Johnson, it's Larry Johnson. Right. Do I need to say anything else? What more do you want for a coach? And I think those families, Justin, got to see what I saw. So, again, here we go again. More Buckeyes coming, and I absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah, and for those people that haven't seen your son or Emeka or JTT on the field yet, they're in for a big treat because, no doubt, like you said, they are some supreme athletes. So I want to talk to you just a couple more things. First of all, I want to get your take on Oklahoma and Texas jumping to the SEC and just your overall thoughts on that and maybe the ripple effects that that might have on college football.
Money. What are you talking about?
Right.
It's money. It's absolute money. I'm quite sure. Hey, brace yourself. Buckle up. College football, the landscape of college football is going to change unbelievably so. We won't even recognize it in 5 years. As for Texas and Oklahoma, two teams, they said, who needs who more? Does the Big 12 need us or do we need the Big 12? I think anybody that watches college football that knows that the Big 12 needs Texas and Oklahoma. Now, the SEC, they don't need Texas in Oklahoma, right? So those guys are going to head over to the SEC by 2025 and do what? Get more money, more of a profit share. I think right now, I think from being part of the Big 12, they get like 30-something million a year, and that might go up to like 55 million a year when they go over to the SEC. I mean, what's $20 million amongst friends, right? So that's what this is about. And look, it's interesting, right? Because in college football, you have all of these student athletes and everybody's talking education, right? Like all of those things. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a $1 billion industry. Let's quit faking the funk, okay? And it's climbing. People love college football. They love it. One thing I've learned about Buckeye Nation, ooh-wee, you guys love your college football. They love college football in the South, and it is something that is happening. So do I think pretty soon we're not going to have as many conferences? Yes. I think that there's going to be more power conference. You know, what's going to happen? Will the Big 12, will they kind of break up and will they kind of merge with, you know what I mean, the Pac-12? Will that happen? What's going to happen with the ACC, right? And who knows what happens with the Big Ten? Will the Big Ten bring over some of those teams from the Big 12? So, Justin, the landscape of college football is changing, but the one thing that's not changing that will remain the same, money.
Agreed, 100%. So, real quick, back to the Buckeyes. I believe camp opened today or it opens tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure, but what's your excitement level on a 1 to 10 scale with camp opening up and you actually being able to be in the shoe with fans this year, not all these COVID protocols? So what's your excitement level on a 1 to 10?
13.
Love it. Good. I like the number.
It's 13, man. I think that Buckeye Nation, for those that had the opportunity to go to games, it was heartbreaking last year. Right? I mean, I got to go to some games and see my son play. But when you start talking about college football, when you start talking about life, Justin, right? And this part is really important. And this is where people forget. Life is about people, right? Mm-hmm. Experiences are usually about people, right? When you're some of your greatest fondest memories on those road trips, when you've gone with family, have been with your brothers or your sisters or your cousins, or those things, it's about family. And when you start thinking about when it comes to a game and the excitement of getting all these fans back in the shoe, opportunity to see that energy, right? That high five with that stranger that you don't know, or that coming together of, I mean, and you're talking about 100,000+ people. Some people know each other, some people don't. There's no politics, baby. There is no this or that. It's straight love of the game of football. It's passion, and you're there, and you're wearing your stuff, and you don't walk past somebody. You don't mean mug them. You say to them, "Go Bucks," or you say to them, "OH," and they hit you back with the IO. It's real, man. So the scale of 1 to 10 is at a 13, brother.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to get back to the shoe. Like, just watching the games last year, you know, obviously we had a fantastic season, but just not that same vibe, that same feel in the stadium. So I'm excited for you to experience that as well as a parent in the shoe. So now you had mentioned the Seattle Seahawks too. I just want you to kind of tell us a little bit about your role and what you do with them.
Well, let's see. 18 years ago, I started doing car detailing, and I had this idea to do mobile detailing. Well, one day I was cleaning this lady's car. I wasn't making no money. I was cleaning this lady's car, and she said, "You know what you should do? You should go out there to the Seahawks practice facility. I bet you those guys like to get their cars clean." And I thought, that'd be a great idea. Now, here's the thing. If I show up to the front door and say, "Hey, I want to clean cars," chances are they're going to be like, no, thank you. So if the front door is closed, what do? Go to the back door. So what I did was, Justin, I went out there. It was like 5:30 in the morning. I waited out there in the back. I saw where the players entered into the lot. It's like 5:30 in the morning. Of course, here I am standing out here by the facility. Now, let's be real. You know, nobody's really welcoming. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. But one guy did stop, and he happened to be the equipment manager. His name's Eric Kennedy. Call him EK. I asked him if I can clean his car for free, show him what I can do. He trusted me. He let me clean his car. After I cleaned his car, he came back with the head coach, who at the time was Mike Holmgren. I cleaned his vehicle, and then they asked me if I could come back the next day. I came back the next day, and I spent the next 11 years cleaning Seahawks cars, right? And then after cleaning their cars for 11 years, somehow, some way, I lucked up and got in the radio. And when I ended up getting in the radio, I had no idea. I mean, come on, I didn't go to school for radio. What are you talking? No. I just talk a lot. That's all. And started doing radio. Well, started with a podcast first and doing the podcast. And then the radio folks asked me if I wanted to do a live one night. And so I asked Marshawn Lynch to do an interview. He does an interview. People were like, "Whoa, what is this?" He gets him to do an interview. So once I started doing radio, then the Seattle Seahawks start having me become an MC and start doing events and things. And now today I'm a game day host for the Seahawks, where I host the End Zone. I do some of their tours, 12 tours and rallies and things like that. So it's been a blessing to learn and be around professional football for so long. And during the heyday, you know, of course, I mean, they're still good. But when they were winning Super Bowls, when Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and Russell Wilson and all those guys were getting drafted, I was there 4 or 5 days a week listening to all those conversations over the years. And I mean, I had no idea that, right? Like, it's just one of those things where, Justin, I was there every day and I'm hearing all of this conversation. I'm hearing all this information. And I didn't know at the time that these guys were going to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know that, but it just so happened that they were. And so that knowledge, the information, I took that information and I just took it home. I just took that information home.
That's great.
And I taught it there.
What a story. That's fantastic. I mean, talk about, you know, literally starting with cleaning a car all the way, taking that 12 years later to a radio gig and, you know, meeting all these professional athletes and whatnot. So fantastic. The gift of gab is something you definitely have. And anybody that's ever heard you speak before knows you do a fantastic job. So I'm excited to hopefully our listeners will be able now to connect with you. Tell them how to follow you on Twitter and, you know, where they can, you know, check you out at.
Oh, you guys can follow me on Twitter at G Scott Senior. Then there's G Scott Junior, same name. There's G Scott Senior and G Scott Junior. So you follow me on Twitter. I'm there all the time. I'm tweeting all the time. Say hello. I'll say hello back.
I want to get you out with one more question because I know you've had a long day and, you know, you've been at this all day. So with G Scott now moving to your son, moving from wide receiver now to the tight end room. But I saw him in Heartline yesterday on I believe that was a TikTok, you know, trying to, you know, catch as many balls as they could. That was great. So if we could compare, if you could compare G Scott, your son, to maybe a wide receiver or a tight end and in the NFL, what kind of comparison maybe for Ohio State fans that aren't familiar with him?
Well, that's a good question. And the reason why here's why you stuck me with that question. And I tell you what, I'm going to answer it, but I'm only going to answer it the right way. And in that way, if you're listening, everybody can get this story the right way. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, this is the first time that I'm sharing this answer. Okay, here we go. So Larry Fitzgerald is the answer. Okay. That's been the answer, right? My son, their game, bigger wide receiver, right? Bigger, not necessarily the guy that's running a 4.3, but the guy that's very crafty with his routes, big, great hands, and all that. Okay. Now, let me give you some background. So it's since my son has been playing the position of wide receiver, over time, they've always talked about him like, oh man, he could be the next Larry Fitzgerald. Now, a lot of it is because they have the dreads, right? The hair and all that. And so my son was growing the hair out and all that stuff. So that was kind of the comparison. But then it starts to get a little eerie, okay? Now, Larry Fitzgerald, his father was in radio. His father was in sports media. His father also worked with an NFL team, the Minnesota Vikings, right? So Larry Fitzgerald Sr., Larry Fitzgerald Jr., right? Larry Fitzgerald got to come up, work out with a lot of pros. Same thing with G. Scott Jr. He's gotten to work out with a lot of pros. Now, here's where it gets a little on the eerie side, if you will. As you guys know, unfortunately, G. Scott Jr.'s mom passed away. And that was about 3 weeks ago. It was devastating. Well, that happened when G. Scott Jr. is 20 years old. So he loses his mom at the age of 20. Larry Fitzgerald lost his mom at the age of 20. And so just recently, the two of them, G. Scott Jr. and Larry Fitzgerald, were able to have a conversation to talk. And now they have now developed this relationship talking about how the similarities that they have. So it's been kind of cool to kind of watch that happen as far as the conversation. But you ask me who's he like and who does he run his routes like and everything. Look, take away Larry Fitzgerald being a Hall of Famer. Take all of that. I mean, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. It's not about, I'm not saying that my son is going to be a Hall of Famer, but I am saying, you ask me what his game's like. I would say his game is similar to that. Bigger receiver, bigger body, great hands.
That's a great answer. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that story and sharing that out. And, you know, on behalf of our listeners, we're sorry for your loss. And
appreciate it, man.
Wish you and both your boys, you know, just our sympathies are out to you guys. So G, I just want to also just say thank you. You're out in Seattle. It's a little bit earlier there, but I know you've been up early this morning. Yeah. So just wanted to say thank you for taking the time and joining us. And, you know, you ever want, you always got a voice box on our show. So we appreciate you. And we look forward to great things from you and your son going forward.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.